And you can tell it's needed. There's no doubt about that. It's a greatly needed ministry. Acts chapter 2, thank you for being here. Sure do appreciate it. I ask you to listen intently this morning. And I believe the Lord's got something to say to us. Acts chapter 2. It is my desire that we have a healthful church. I said healthful, healthy, productive. If you want a healthy body, there's some things you must do in order to make that a reality. You can't do like me, eat junk food and exercise when you feel like it. You don't have anything else to do and go to bed late and get up early. If we don't do the right things to our body, it will tell on us. It will affect us physically. We will not be healthy. Same thing's true with the local church. I read the other day about different things our body needs. There'll be more than this, but carbs, protein, fat, water, vitamins, minerals, calcium, sodium, potassium. And these are things that the body needs. I mean, it's necessary. I mean, if these things are lacking, there's going to be a problem somewhere. And the same type of thing's true spiritually to the local church. Now, we can have our people and our programs and our processes and still not have church. We can have our possessions and nice buildings and nice clothes and all that and still not have church. If we're going to find out what the local church should be, I believe we need to go back where it began. Acts chapter 2, begin reading in verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. One thing I'll mention in these verses, you keep seeing the word daily. It wasn't just once a week, but it was something that was continual, something daily, something they walked in. It wasn't something they did irregularly or occasionally. I want to try and preach on this thought, the daily requirements for a healthy church. The daily requirements for a healthy church. Now, I tell you, we all want to go right on straight to verse 42. Where it says there were many wonders and signs done by the apostles. We want to jump straight on to verse 47 where it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I believe all of us want a good church. I believe we want a church that's blessed by God. And I realize right off to begin with this morning that if we're going to have that, it's going to take the Lord. He said, upon this rock will I build my church. I promise you all our programs and processes and all our procedures, all we can do will be useless, will be in vain if he doesn't touch it, if he doesn't ordain it, if it isn't from him. I ask you this morning, what does it take to have a healthy church? To have a healthy church, it needs a daily, listen, supply, I'm convinced, of purity. If you notice in verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That doesn't merely mean that they believed it, even though they did. It doesn't mean that they accepted it to be the truth, even though they did. What it means is they lived it. They did what was right. They believed and desired purity. I say it again, they did it not just on Sunday when they met together. Man alive, anybody can behave for an hour or two once a week. Anybody can play the part when we're at church. But they lived it daily. They lived it consistently. And I want to tell you something. If we expect God to bless us when we come here, we better live right out there. What we do out there will show up in here. And the first thing this church or any church needs is people who live pure, clean, godly lives. Without that, we'll not be healthy. Without that, God won't bless. Without that, we'll not be what God wants us to be as a church or as an individual Christian. I say first, the church needs like the vitamins and minerals and protein and carbs your body needs. This church and every church needs to realize we need pure lives. I've said it often. This church will never be more than we are. This church is made up of people. And what we are as people will reveal itself in this church. And we'll go no higher as a church than we are as individuals. We'll do no more for God as a church than we are as individuals. That means me, and that means you. We need to have pure lives. We need to recognize, listen to me, how holy God is. Now, if we've got a God, like some say, that's just our good buddy and just some big guy in the sky, like I heard the other day, some fellow said if Jesus was here, he'd ride a Harley. Well, excuse me, but that's dumb. Hey, God is holy. God is absolutely holy. And if we expect the blessings of a holy God, we need to live holy lives. I'll tell you one thing. This message may not suit us a whole lot, but I believe it's from God, and boy, we need it. I want God to bless this church. This message has been brewing in my heart for the last 2 or 3 weeks, so I hope we'll listen as it is from God. We need to focus on the Lord, not the church and not us. Listen, the number one attribute of God is not His mercy. It is not His long-suffering. It is not His grace. It is not His love. The number one, the main attribute of our God is His holiness. Isaiah wrote it like this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, listen to me, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Those angels were not crying out, love, love. Oh, God is a God of love, even though He is. They were not crying out, mercy, 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 even though He was. They cried, holy, 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 because His number one attribute above all things is the fact that He is a holy, pure, all-righteous God. And we cannot expect the blessings of a holy God on unholy lives. We must realize there is a requirement, a daily requirement. Every morning you take that pill. Every day you take that vitamin because you know your body needs it to be healthy. You know you have to do maybe what you don't want to do, but you take the pill to get what you need. An outside source giving you what you need. And that's exactly what we need this morning as far as our church and our lives. We need to realize how holy our God is. And He will not play around with our sinful lives. He does not take it lightly. I'm talking about purity. I'm talking about right lives, righteousness. Did you hear what Danny read this morning? If you're here in Sunday school, it talked about the sacrifice of righteousness. A sacrifice is something you give, something that's not always easy. But the Bible said, the psalmist said, we ought to give a sacrifice of righteousness, a sacrifice of right living. Sometimes you don't want to. What difference does that make? Sometimes we don't feel like it. Who cares? That doesn't change God's righteousness. That doesn't change His holiness. He needs, wants, and demands holy people before they receive His blessing. I want God's blessing in this church. I want God's blessing on my life. And if we're to have that, there must be a purity around here. There must be pure lives, not just on Sunday, but all week, all day, every day. I'm talking about this morning. I don't know if I ever get to the message. Pure lives. We need a good dose of purity. We need to see how holy God is. He's not going to ignore our sin. He's not going to overlook what we're doing if we're not doing right. He's too holy. He cannot, will not tolerate it. He is so holy, He cannot ignore sin. We need to realize, hey, a pure heart realizes how holy God is and how bad sin is. The Lord's opinion of sin is revealed of how He deals with it. And He took the crown of His creation, Adam and Eve, and kicked them out when they sinned. One bite of a piece of fruit was all it took. That's how holy that's how holy He is and how rotten sin is. In the eyes of a holy God, the smallest of sin is big sin. The smallest of sin is not to be ignored. We need to realize, as far as purity, that our God is a holy God, and He cannot and will not deal with let sin go by, because sin in His eyes is bad. You want to know how God views sin? He kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. And then later He brought a flood. And every person on earth died except for 8 people. Because God said, I cannot tolerate the way they're living. I'll wipe them out and start over. Do we dare think that God's going to ignore our sin? Oh, we not only expect Him to ignore the way we're living, we expect Him to bless us in the process. We expect to come to church and climb into the chandeliers and shout and run and have a good time when all week we've lived for ourselves. I'll tell you, our God is too holy to let that happen. He will not. And I don't blame Him. Look at the New Testament. Ananias and Sapphira, all they did, we'd say, is tell a little fib. And they died at the altar. Well, I'll tell you one thing, that'd stir up the church service, wouldn't it? But if you want to really know how God views sin, don't go to the Garden of Eden. Don't go to the flood. Don't go to Ananias and Sapphira. You go to a lonely hill called Calvary, where His own son was hanging. And if there's ever a time when God would have ignored sin, it would have been then. If there's ever a time when God would say, oh, I'm going to just let it go this time, it would have been then. But He poured out undiluted wrath on His own son, because His son had my sin and your sin on Him when He hung on that cross. I'll tell you, our God is too holy to ignore sin, including ours. We need a good dose of purity in our lives. A holy, healthy, happy church has to have one thing involved, purity. We need a good dose of purity every day of our lives. Could I get to the message? I'll never finish. Some of you be glad. Oh, I'm talking about this morning. How do we have a healthy church? We have a healthy church by having healthy people spiritually. And we need to, as individuals, and we need to, as a church, have a good daily dosage of purity, living right, being right. Well, what does that mean? Well, so listen, a pure church, I'm talking about a pure church now, a pure church involves Christians. Did you hear what the verse said? And all that believed were together and had all things common. All who believed, these were believers. They were people who were already saved, or when they came into the service, they got saved. The church is for Christians. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He's the one that adds. He's the one who saves. That means, again, it depends on Him. And if we are dependent upon Him to see lost people get saved, we better be right with Him. If we want His favor, if we want His touch, if we want lost people to be saved, we better be right with Him where He can hear our prayer and have mercy on us. Church, pure church, involves Christians. You see, lost people aren't holy people. I love lost people. If you're here this morning lost, I sure am glad you're here. But I want to tell you, your life, the best you can do, is not going to please a holy God. The Bible says, God said, the best you can do in my eyes, says God, is like filthy rags. Your best, your good works, all your effort, all your deeds, all you do, all your sacrifice, all that is good morally, but it has nothing to do with your soul and your eternity. God said it's like a filthy rag in my eyes, because all that is you doing good. Pure church involves Christians. How you get into the family is by getting saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, my prayer, my plea is for you to accept Christ today. To not wait, to not wonder, to not put it off. You may have told everybody in the world you're saved, but if God shows you this morning you're not, boy, today's the day. If He shows you you're not saved, that means He's speaking to you. And it is time now, while He's speaking, to call on Him. He is saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to help you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to show you what true happiness is all about. And when you get through in this world, you get to go to heaven forever. Hey, I'm talking about a pure church, a healthy church. We need a good dose of daily purity. A pure church involves Christians. Listen to me. A pure church involves character. Look in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I said it already. It's more than just what they believed. It's what they did. And a person with character means they want to do right all the time. Character means what we are. Character is revealed by what we do, but character is what we are. It's who we are. I said it before, anybody can act for an hour. Anybody can behave while we're here. But what about out there? What about when your world starts falling apart? What about when the boss man starts griping? What about when, hey, what about when everything goes bad in your life? What happens then? How do we act then? A person with character wants to do right, and they want to do right all the time. Now they won't, because we're human. I want to tell you something. If you've got a godly character about you, when you do wrong, it grieves you. It burns me, burns you if we've got godly character. And a church that's healthy is full of people who have a God-given, God-produced character about them. They want to do right all the time. How they feel doesn't change how they want to do. They still want to do right when they don't feel good. The circumstances they're going through doesn't change what they want to do. They want to do right when the things are the worst in their lives. They don't use circumstances to excuse their behavior. Well, if they hadn't done that, I wouldn't have done this. If this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have done what it did. Hey, a person with a godly character doesn't use excuses. They want to do right all the time. It's because of the fact of who they are. It's what God has put in their heart. Their actions are not controlled by the outside. It's controlled by what's inside. They believe right is right no matter what. And just doing right is reward enough. If I just know I did right, it's good enough. If I know I pleased Him, that's good enough. That's what a godly character is. A person who has character. And every church, if we're to be a healthy church, needs that kind of purity, that godly character. A person who wants to do right all the time. A person who does right, wants to do right, even when it's easier to do wrong. A whole lot of times it's easier to do the wrong thing than the right thing. But a person who has a godly character wants to do the right thing even when it's the hardest thing. Even if it's the last thing they want to do in their flesh, they want to do the right thing because it's something God's put in us. And that's what we need in this church. All day, every day, we need a good dose of godly character. A person who will do right, listen to me, when no one is watching. When you could do it and nobody would know. The person with a godly character says, I might could do it and nobody find out. Nobody might know, but I would know. I would know I had done wrong and I don't want to do wrong. And more importantly than I would know, my God would know. And I don't want to hurt Him. Godly character means I want to do right no matter what. That's what we need. I'm talking to us this morning. That's what I need to be. Somebody with a godly character that will do right when nobody else is. Who says I am not for sale. How much would it take? What is your price? What would it take for you to do wrong? Now, most of us wouldn't for $5, but what about for $5,000? What about for $50,000? Where's your price line? What would it take for you to say, okay, I'll go ahead and do it? A person with godly character says, there is no price. I am not for sale. I won't do wrong no matter what, because right is right all the time. Brother Bob Jones Sr., the old man, said to do right even though the stars fall from heaven, do right. And that'll be our desire. That'll be our intent, a godly character. I'm talking about I want a church that's going to be blessed. And if we're going to have a church that's going to be blessed, we've got to have people who can be blessed. And that means pure lives, holy lives, Christians and character. Somebody who says, I'm not going to do wrong even if I could get away with it. Hey, Jesus said to the seven churches, to every one of them, I know thy works. He says, I know what you're doing. I want to say to us, He knows what we're doing on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Not just Sunday morning, Sunday night. He knows us. He knows us. He knows us. He knows if we're godly or not. He knows where we're going. He knows what we're doing. I am asking God, listen to me, listen to me. I am asking God to rejuvenate this church and set us on fire like never before. And I have kept coming back to this one point. If that is to happen, we've got to get right with God. I have been asking God if there's anything around here He's not pleased with, for Him to show it up, to reveal it. That's risky, but we got to get her cleaned up if we're going to have God's touch. Because our God is holy, and He cannot bless anything that's unholy. Well, it's quitting time. Let me touch one thing, maybe one. I've tried to mention this morning, but I hope. I'm looking to what God might just could do here. What He might be able to do in my life and yours and then this church. If He's going to do what I'm wanting, if He's going to do what we just read in this Bible, we got to do it His way. And it starts with a pure life. It starts with Christians in the church. It starts with character. I say also a pure church involves conduct. Character means what we are, what we want, what we desire, what we're willing to do. But conduct means what we are doing. The Bible says again, they continued steadfastly. They not only thought about it, thought it was right, talked about doing right, they did it, they did it, they did it. Conduct, godly conduct. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. He said, my Father's will for you as His people is this. That you might live to where the world cannot rebuke you. That they cannot use you as an excuse. That you would never be the kind that they would say, if that person's a Christian, I don't want to get saved. If that person goes to that church, I don't want to go to that church. Oh my. He said, blameless, without rebuke, that we might shine in a dark world. It means we're different. We're different than them. Oh, listen, conduct. I'm asking you this morning, do you want a healthy church? Just like a healthy body, there's some things we got to take in if we're going to have a healthy body. There's some things we're going to have to do if we want a healthy church. A pure church involves conduct, doing right no matter what. I said already, doing right when others are doing wrong. James said it like this, therefore him to know it to do good and do it that not to him it is sin. It's not just a blunder. It's not just me. It's not just the way I am. He said if you know to do good and you don't, it's wrong, it's sin. Conduct means doing it. Doing it. Boy, it's easy for us to talk about it. We are experts in conversation. Oh, we need to pray. But we don't pray. Boy, we got to live right. But we don't. Boy, you got to be faithful. And sometimes we are and sometimes we aren't. Conduct means not only do I talk about it, they didn't just sit around and talk about it. They did it continually, steadfastly, day by day. They were doing it. And that's why God blessed. And that's why God came. And that's why God moved. And that's why lost got saved. And people were right and happy and rejoicing. Because somebody said, I got to do more than talk about it. I need to do it. I need to do it. Conduct. Got a question. How are you living? Are you living in a way to where God could bless you? Are you living in a way where God could bless the church? Everyone here, if you're a part of this church at all, even as an active visitor, you have an effect on this church. either good or bad. And I don't want to be a hindrance to this church. I have prayed more times than I can count in the almost 32 years I've been here. Lord, if I'm a hindrance to the church, you want me to leave? You tell me. I'm glad so far he hadn't told me to leave. I don't know if you are or not, but I'm glad he hasn't told me to go. But I don't want to be a hindrance. I want to be a help. I want to add. I don't want to subtract. And the Bible says, depart from evil and do good. Run from bad. Don't do it and do good. Every one of us who are believers ought to be an example of godliness. I'm going to stop here. Nowhere close to done. I have been sharp this morning because sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes sharpness comes across because of a burden. And I'm seeing so many of our kind of churches going down, hurting and sickly and anemic and dying and dead. And it doesn't have to happen. The God of Acts 2 is still our God. And he's still able. And he wants to. He wants to. He wants us a living church, a thriving church, a healthy church, a vibrant church, an exciting church. And we don't have to go wacko. We don't have to go charismatic. We don't have to go contemporary. But we do have to get right with God. It starts by getting right with God. And I'm not asking if you got drunk last night. Maybe you did. I'm not asking if you're running around on your spouse. Maybe you are. But I'm asking us all. I'm looking at me. I'm looking at me. I'm looking at me. I can't do anything about you. All I can do is look at me. And I want to ask us all, how clean are we? Is our life a contribution to the church? Is it an asset? Or is it a hindrance? Forget the church for a minute. Just your walk with him. Just you. Forget the church for a moment. Are you where he wants you to be? Is your life pleasing to him? He wants us close. He wants us on fire. He wants us right. He wants to work through us and in us. Stand together. Many of you will come. I have on my heart two or three things.